What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Ryan Young, senior economist with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. You may recall a couple of weeks ago we had a very interesting conversation about contributors to inflation, what segments of the economy do so, and I wanted to get him back on to talk about the trade balance and what portions of that may contribute to inflation as well. But I got to be honest with you, folks, so much has happened between now and then, I'm not sure what's relevant, what's not any longer. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having back on. And yeah, it has been a very eventful couple of weeks. We'll put it that way.
You guys must be working overtime over there. I mean, every time I open my emails, I got another alert of something else happening.
Yeah, we're keeping up, but it's not easy.
So let's talk about, if you don't mind, let's talk about this 25% tariffs on steel and aluminum. This was done in Trump 1, obviously, and it's now done again in Trump 2. It provided exceptions for both Canada and Mexico, but not this time. So the impact is going to be different, yes, no?
Somewhat. In the first term when President Trump put those tariffs on, they did initially include Canada and Mexico. In fact, that was part of the USMCA trade agreement negotiations, getting those back to zero where they were before. And we also negotiated exemptions with Europe and with Japan, and those took some time to negotiate, and they get a little in the weeds as far as details go. But now those exemptions are gone. Maybe they'll reopen negotiations. Maybe they don't. We don't know because they just came into effect literally today. And the other thing to note is that the aluminum tariffs in term one were 10%. Those are all going up to 25% now. So that's going to be a pretty substantial hike, and that's going to affect home appliances, beverages, construction, and autos, and other industries as well.
Ryan, can domestic production of either steel or aluminum meet the demand?
I think so. I think so. What President Trump used to justify these tariffs, and I don't put too much into it, is national security. And one reason I don't put too much into it is because it's Canada and Mexico and Europe. And the executive order also specifically cites Ukrainian steel that we import as a threat to U.S. national security. So I don't think it's about that. I think it's about other things. And I think maybe giving U.S. steel and aluminum manufacturing a boost is the real objective here. So don't put too much into what those justifications are. But I also don't think there's too much to it. We only import about a quarter of the steel that we use, and aluminum, our biggest source of steel isn't foreign aluminum. It's actually recycled aluminum from here in America. We make about 30% of it from mining. We recycle about 36%, and then the remaining 30% or so is imported.
So I'm surprised to hear that we have the capacity, because I was always led to believe that we did not. But that's good. That's good news. That's good to hear.
Yeah, and if you think about it, the two biggest steel users are autos, which use about a quarter of all steel that we use, and construction, which is about 44% of steel usage. If you're talking national security, the Defense Department uses, call it 2%, 2 to 3% of domestic steel demand. That's for all the tanks and planes and military bases and all the defense infrastructure that we need to keep America safe. 2% of steel. We make about 76% of steel here in the U.S. So if the world were to cut us off entirely, we would still have a military 38 times the size that we have now, at least in terms of steel usage.
How much of this has to do with the negotiation and predicament that U.S. Steel finds itself in today?
It's part of it. As you know, U.S. Steel is in a tough spot. They've been coddled for so long, they've forgotten how to be competitive. And the same goes with some of their competitors, like Cleveland-Cliffs and Nucor. And one thing we're finding out is that when you raise tariffs against foreign products, that gives domestic producers room to raise their prices as well. And one thing we found is that last night, Nucor Steel, which, if I remember correctly, is these days the biggest American steel producer, yeah, they announced that they're already raising their prices. They announced that last night. $40 a ton for rebar steel is their first price increase, and there are more on the way. You can bet your biscuits that U.S. Steel and Cleveland Cliffs and all the other major producers are doing the same thing, because now they can raise their prices and not get undercut. And while that might be good for the short term, and last time around it did boost about 1,000 steel jobs, if you're a steel-using industry, autos, construction, you name it, that cost about 75,000 jobs. So the good, 1,000 jobs. The bad, you lose 75,000 jobs. That's not good math.
Then why are we going down this path? I mean, we've done it once, and that's what the outcome revealed, right? Is there another value added that we're missing?
No, it's political. It's very political. There's the old canard about ethanol farmers in Iowa being an almost sacred constituency. No politician from a farm state is ever going to oppose ethanol subsidies, because they will get primaried, they will get booted out of office. Turns out only about 1.5% of our labor force is in agriculture, so that's not true. We're seeing that same story play out with the steel and aluminum industries. Those industries combined employ about 150,000 people. There are more people employed as manicurists than work in those two industries combined. And even if they're heavily concentrated in politically important swing states like Ohio and Pennsylvania, that's still not a lot of votes. So it's politics. It's not only just politics, it's misguided politics.
You know, I always adhere to the thought that the entity's interest always outweighs the individual. And when I hear these anecdotal stories like this, it runs completely contrary, because then these things are not in the best interest of our country in the end.
Yeah, there is a sincerity component. I don't mean to say that everything is political all the time.
Right.
That's, Republicans and Democrats are both sincere in their beliefs. But if you want to get ahead in politics, well, you do have to play the game. And in this case, I think that's what's going on. If we're talking about the Nippon Steel U.S. Steel deal, the reason that got scuttled is mainly because of Cleveland Cliffs. They lobbied very aggressively. They made their own offer to buy U.S. Steel, which was about one-third less. So if you're a U.S. Steel shareholder or employee, you're not getting your money's worth. But they lobbied very aggressively, and they happened to succeed, at least for the time being, although my understanding is that as of right now, on Tuesday, the deal might be back on in the form of allowing Nippon Steel to make some kind of investments. But, when Wednesday comes, who knows? But that's politics is nearly always a factor. It's not the factor, but it's a factor, and it's a big one.
But it doesn't encourage one to become more efficient, to be more competitive, to engage in technology improvements, because it's almost really rewarding status quo, is it not?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And I think it's a shame, because if you think about the fantastic culture of entrepreneurship, the superior economic institutions we have compared to what we have around the world, the talented workforce we have, the experience, the skills, the gung-ho entrepreneurial spirit that we have and a lot of other countries don't, why aren't we taking advantage of that? Companies like U.S. Steel and Nucor and Cleveland-Cliffs and all the rest, if instead of holding them as welfare cases and letting them have a quiet, cozy existence, what if we let them compete in the world market with all the advantages that America has? They could do amazing things, but they don't like that. It's easier just to raise tariffs and raise their prices. That's why the U.S. has the highest domestic steel prices in the world, and they're going up as we speak.
And yet they will blame that on, you know, unions. True? Not true?
Yeah. Partially true. Partially true. In the case of Cleveland Cliffs, they're pretty tightly allied with the U.S. Steelworkers Union. So here you have, that's the case where you have management and employees on the same side of the table. In that case, they both like the protected, cozy existence. It's not the only industry where that's the case, but yeah, that's a factor.
But you know, it's amazing. I love our conversations, Ryan, because people don't talk about this. They don't say it in the context that you just presented it. And I got to imagine there are a number of people in my listening audience saying, wow, wait a minute. There are more manicurists than there are steel workers. You know, it's like we're led to believe that industry is huge and is responsible for a major part of our economy.
Well, the thing is, the industries themselves are pretty small. But remember how I said, you know, you gain 1,000 jobs and you lose 75,000. The industries that depend on steel and that depend on aluminum are huge. The entire automotive industry, they're the biggest users of the second biggest users of steel and the biggest users of aluminum. They use a third of all aluminum. Just in that one industry. And then, of course, you have beverages, you know, you have giants like Coca-Cola, and then you have your small local craft brewers making their own stuff in-house. They all use aluminum cans. They're all going to be affected by this, and companies pass on their costs. We're going to pay that at the grocery store. Anyone who's in the market for a new car or a new house, you might see your rent or your mortgage go up if you move. This is a big deal, even if the industries themselves are small. It's one of those cases where the benefits go to the few, but we, the many, are going to end up paying the costs.
We got to get to a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about how is the trade balance and the balance of trade that we look to and seek to accomplish, whether or not that's a contributor to inflation or not. We're visiting with Ryan Young, senior economist with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We'll be right back after the break.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Stay with us. Getting a lot of text saying, why are prices going up here domestically if they're putting tariffs on imported steel? And I guess, Ryan, we're visiting with Ryan Young, senior economist with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, because they can, right?
Yeah, that's about it.
I mean, I don't know any other way to explain it. If they can increase their margins, they're going to do it.
Yeah, yeah, same as any other line of work, except in this case, they're getting an assist from government. If the private sector did that on their own, you'd be seeing an antitrust case, but when it's a tariff, same result, but you're not going to see the legal prosecution.
Right, because their increases are going to be commensurate amongst the competitors in the domestic steel industry.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and to the, you know, the last time this happened, steel prices in the U.S. are already among the world's highest. That went up to about, they were about $1,000 a ton, and you raise that to $250 per ton. Domestic steel prices went up about $250 per ton, almost exactly the amount of the tariff. And this is happening in industry after industry. Wherever tariffs happen, you can predict that's exactly what's going to happen.
So what does this do to inflation? I mean, it's got to be a contributor. Cost of going up, right?
It's enough to show up in CPI and some of the other indicators that we look at. Tariffs aren't strictly inflationary because that has to do with what the Fed looks like and all that. That has to do with the money supply. If, say, the money supply doubled overnight, how many dollars exist? It's $6 trillion, roughly. You double that overnight to $12 trillion, what you're going to find is that the amount of real goods and real services is exactly the same. But the price of everything's going to double. Your salary is going to double. No one's going to be better off or worse off. It's just a change in the exchange rate between money and stuff. Tariffs don't do that. They just raise the prices of tariffed goods. So it's not strictly inflation, but it's still price increases. It still hits people in the pocketbook, and it still costs jobs.
Well, let's talk about like rebar. You use that as an example that you heard yesterday. You know, already they raised the price per ton there. I mean, that impacts residential construction, commercial construction, road building, bridge building. I mean, the list goes on and on. When the cost of those goods passed on to the consumer, to government and others, it has to have an inflationary effect.
Well, it affects those prices. The tricky part is telling that monetary inflation, apart from other inflation, it can be difficult because prices can go up or down for literally millions of reasons. Right. The shorthand way I use to tell them apart what's inflation, what's just a price increase, is does this thing affect all prices or does it just affect some prices? With tariffs, they just affect some prices. Rebar steel, you're going to pay higher prices for housing, for infrastructure, for road building, for those things. It's not going to affect the price of food, for example. So yes,
you don't differentiate. Let me ask this question. You don't differentiate then between domestic company price increases and the tariff?
They're not exactly the same, but they're pretty darn close. If we raise a tariff on foreign goods, you can be very confident that domestic producers are going to raise their prices. If you want to go back to that rebar steel example, a brand new 25% steel tariff, in addition to what we already have, they raised their prices by $40. They would raise their prices by more than $40 if that were the case. But since we already have pre-existing tariffs and this is closing loopholes in those existing tariffs, they figure they can only get away with about a $40 per ton increase instead of what would have been about a $200 to $300 per ton increase.
Wow. Yeah, I got a text here that says, where'd it go? I've been dealing with Nucor for over 40 years, and I'm already seeing increases.
Yeah, that sounds about right, and that's going to hurt a lot of industries. During the break, I was looking up numbers for aluminum. There are about 60,000 jobs in the aluminum industry, but there are about 10.5 million jobs that depend on aluminum. So, you know, to benefit the aluminum producers, you're going to have to raise prices on 10.5 million workers, construction, transportation, machinery, electrical equipment. All these things, all these industries are going to be affected, and all their customers, that's you and me, are going to be affected by these price increases. And even if they're not strictly inflation, that's just economists parsing things that don't matter all that much, it's still going to hit us in the pocketbook.
It's just interesting that when we attack this balance of trade equation, for lack of a better term, one would think that it would have a more positive impact for us, but in many ways it just simply does not.
Yeah, and I think it's because a lot of people call it the trade deficit, and the word deficit is scary. Rightly so. But the thing about trade is it's always reciprocal. No one agrees to a trade unless everyone involved expects to benefit. I was going through my bank account. It's tax time. Got to make sure I have enough in there. Turns out that I run a thousands of dollar every year trade deficit with my grocery store. Every year. I spend thousands of dollars there, and I don't think they have ever paid me for one of my articles or to pay me to give a talk about economic policy. So every year there's that trade deficit.
I hate to and even yet, think of those in that context, Ryan. I might not ever sleep.
But the reason I keep going back is because we both benefit. I would rather have food in my fridge than the money it costs to buy that food. And so I benefit. The store benefits because they'd rather have that money than the food on their shelves. That's sustainable. You know, as long as everyone involved is making a mutually beneficial transaction, trade deficit, trade surplus, it's neither good nor is it bad. And you find that, you know, look at the booms and busts throughout U.S. history. The trade deficit's got nothing to do with them either way. And the nice thing is when those dollars go abroad, you can't spend a dollar, a U.S. dollar in Canada or, you know, at a Japanese grocery store. What are they going to do with those dollars? They invest. So our trade deficit is also an investment surplus in almost exactly the same amount. They keep some dollars for, you know, foreign exchange, foreign currency reserves. There's always some black market activity. But our trade deficit is also an investment surplus. Where did Nippon Steel get those dollars that they want to use to buy U.S. steel? From trade. So it all evens out in the end. As long as individuals make decisions that benefit them, if accountants want to aggregate that at a national scale and see if it's got a plus or a minus sign, that's great, but it doesn't really mean that much.
This is all very interesting. And then, you know, I'm thinking of going back to the grocery analogy. And then I pay a premium because I want to go to the grocery store that's the most convenient to me and closest to my residence. So, and I know I'm paying a premium to do so. There are places that are cheaper, right? So
yeah.
I've even increased my trade deficit on that, in that regard. You see, you've already infected my brain, right? So. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We will definitely have you on again to talk about this. Ryan Young, senior economist with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Really appreciate your time, your insight. Have a great week.
You too. Thank you, Newell.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Stay with us.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.